Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream. Not getting enough Triple M footy? Or did you miss something and need to go back and have another listen? Get the Triple M NRL podcast. It's available right now on the Triple M NRL app.
In 3, 2, 1. Another week of footy is ready to rock. Hear every minute live here on digital radio and on the Triple M app. For McDonald's, we are Triple M Footy.
Yes, hello and welcome to Saturday Triple M NRL. I'm Ryan Girdler sitting in for Tony Squires. Next to me, Wendell Saylor. Emma Lawrence won't be here today, but Josh Reynolds Dell will be coming in soon. We're broadcasting live today from the Castle Hill RSL. What a facility it is, Wendell. And it's been a big couple of days in the game. What have you made of the round so far?
Oh, mate, I've really enjoyed it. Obviously, women in league rounds. So, firstly, thanks to Castle Hill RSL for having us here. Mate, what a great facility. The aquatic centre's next door. It's massive. So, if you're around today, come and say hi. We're here for a couple of hours. Josh Reynolds will be here soon. I've been pretty happy with what I've seen so far. The Broncos obviously beating the Panthers last night.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, mate.
That's okay.
But also Manly, you know, they set a standard, got themselves into the top four at the moment. The Tigers, unfortunately, there's a few injuries there. Young Little, I think he's gone for the...
Well, we're going to speak to Josh. Josh Reynolds is going to be in soon. Obviously, he's weak. Last week, everyone expected him to get a run against Manly, but things didn't turn out well for the young replacement hooker, and Josh will be here to talk about what's going on out there at the Tigers. Big show coming up. We've got Hall of Famer Danny Bedaris coming on the show.
Oh, yeah,
later, MG goes one-on-one with the great man Rabs, who was also inducted into the Hall of Fame. What a moment for Rabby. George Gregan's going to come on and talk about the Bledisloe. Now, Del.
I love George Gregan.
We spoke to, I think it was Timmy Horan last week about the Bledisloe. Now, they went out and had a pretty good win last week. Can they back it up tonight? What do you think?
Oh, look, I think Eden Park, we haven't won there since 1986 or something like that. The funny thing is, I've played at Eden Park against the All Blacks. When you rock up, you know the history, what's happened there. And obviously, there's a sea of black, and you don't mean to, but when you rock up there, you get a bit nervous because you know how good they're going to play. The crowd's going to be behind you. The Wallabies did well at the stadium last week. We know how good that venue is. And it was good to see the Wallabies get a win over the All Blacks, but I think it's going to be so much harder to back it up today. But it's going to be good to...
Well, they look like they're under a little bit of pressure, don't they? Made a couple of changes to their
side,
the All Blacks. So the shoe's on the other foot, but we'll talk to George Gregan a little bit more about that later on. Up at Castle Hill RSL, Wendell, we're at the Sports at 77 bar, and there is screens everywhere. Now, they've just brought up some food here. Andy's looking after it. They've just brought up some food here from the smokehouse.
How good.
We've got like a nachos. We've got some grilled corn and some chicken wings. They put the meat over there near the carnivore. And it's an amazing venue. Come and check it out. Right. I think they've also got a special on today. The first 100 people, is that right, Andy? Come in and get a free schooner. Now, I've seen some guy walk in and out several times in different clothes, and he looks half shot already, so I hope the bar staff are onto him. But, Wendell, let's talk about last night's game.
Yep.
Your Brisbane Broncos took on my Penny Panthers up there at Suncorp Stadium. Lots to play for both sides. And your boys were just too good on the night.
Yeah, look, I think, look, the Broncos, for me, they've been very hot and cold this year. You know, the Panthers, obviously, you know, they've gone on a good run then. They had a losing start to the season. They got into a bit of a rhythm. But last night, I saw the emergence of that young talent start to understand what it's like to play NRL week in, week out. And Payne Haas,
incredible.
It was unbelievable.
It's a simple formula, isn't it, for the Broncos, Wendell? I mean, you know, when you've got so much power through the middle third of the field, you need to keep it simple. And I think, you know, in the past sort of couple of months when they've lost their way, I think they've only lost one out of their last seven games. So they've been building to something, but it just feels like they've found their identity. I think at the start of the season, you know, Anthony Seabold obviously wanted to go in there. They played a lot of shapes. They tried to throw a lot at you, but he didn't quite have the personnel in the right positions to get the job done. But now it's just a raw power game, and they couldn't be handled last night in the middle.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, you know, as an ex-Bronco, I came out and I said I wasn't really impressed with when the... I don't mind the Broncos losing, but they were getting flogged by 40 points. And for me, I sort of let that be known publicly, thinking that's not how the Broncos culture is about. And I think Anthony Seabold come out and said, look, we've got a turnover of players, some younger players here. Mate, we'll get to where we're going, but it's going to take time. Look, you know, they've obviously bought in to what he's talking about now, but even only 2 weeks ago, I think Darius Boyd said they got embarrassed by Melbourne. Melbourne put 40 points on them then. So they owed it, I think, to the fans last night to do that. So, and Penrith, they were in front of them, I think, in the top eight position there. So
yeah, they jump them.
Yeah, it was a finals-like sort of atmosphere where I think both teams were real nervous early. They couldn't finish off early. There was a lot of aggression from both sides. You saw a big kick out. He was aggressive. Tevita Pangai, he was aggressive as well. But I just like what the Broncos did. I think they composed themselves at the right times to come away with that win.
Isn't this great, Wendell? After all those years we've been going to the bosses at Triple M and saying, we need our own show. Yep. Just the two of us, and now look at us. Hey, it finally happened. Mate, a few people had to fall over along the way, but 100%, hey, we finally got there.
It's the Gerds and Dell show.
Look,
we love it.
Look, they're in good shape, though, Dell. 23 points they sit on at the moment. I think they've got two of their last three games at home, and they're very winnable. Broncos make the eight this year. Is that a pass mark for Anthony Seibold in his first year?
Look, I think so. I think so in this year. If they would have missed it, it would have been frustrating. Wouldn't have been the end of the world. But I think for Seibold, the drums were beating. People were talking about, oh, they should let Kevvy Walters. You know, Seibold's not that good. But, you know, even a couple of things that Seibold's done this year, I haven't been happy with. But
what did you make of what he did last week comparing Darius Boyd to Luke Keary?
Well, look, I always...
5'8" at the competition.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest. Darius Boyd, for me, you know, he hasn't been probably at his best this year. And I've played with Darius at the Dragons. He's been a good player for a long time. But you can just tell the game catches up with you sometimes. Last night he was back to not his best, but I was happy with that. But I wasn't happy when the media or us guys were talking about Darius having one run, 1 metre. I wasn't happy with Seibold bringing up Luke Keary stats, you know?
Yeah. We've actually got some of the audio here. Let's have a listen.
For whatever reason, seems to be an easy target. I had a look through the competition from last weekend. There's an Australian number six playing for a team in Sydney who only made 4 metres last week and missed 5 tackles. And not one thing was said in the media about that. Now, his team won. Our team won last week. But for whatever reason, because Darius only had one run, he's been crucified a week from what I understand. So I just think, for whatever reason, he's an easy target.
Yeah, look, I think you need to put that in perspective. I mean, they won the game last week against the Raiders. And if you match up some of the other stats, look, I understand the point that Seibold was trying to make there, but I think there's probably a better way that he could have worded it.
Yeah, I agree.
Talking about the season that Luke Keary's had, he's a wonderful player. He's one of the best 5'8s that we have in our game at the moment. And then point out the fact that he only ran for a metre last week.
Yes.
But on the other foot, though, on the other
pressure.
Hand, Del,
do you agree? Is that pressure?
I think it looks like pressure.
Seibold, like, I think there's a couple of things that he
said. It
looks
like pressure, doesn't it?
But that's what happens at this time of the year. I think we've seen Bellamy, you know, we've seen the CEOs go out of Shane Richardson, Dave Donner.
We'll talk about that a little bit later too.
This is what we love about rugby league. It's theatre, and everyone's, you know, they're throwing grenades left, right and centre, and it gives us plenty to talk about.
Well, my boys, the Panthers, a little bit disappointing last night. Thought there was an opportunity for them to go up there after a good win against the Sharks, and I actually thought they were going to get the job done. Wendell, they... you know, if you're putting a game plan together against the Broncos, you need to make sure you control possession, because you just don't want to give them opportunity with the ball. And we saw that how they struggled with the football a couple of weeks ago in that last-ditch win against the Cowboys. And it was like, well, the Cowboys, you know, didn't let them play football the way that they wanted to play.
Yep.
And Penrith last night handing him back possession by making errors coming out of their own end was always going to burn Penrith's energy, because they're big, they're strong, the Broncos, and you give them a chance with the football and they make you pay, and they pay late in the game. So Penrith now with a real struggle to make the eight.
But I was happy to see, because the Broncos have lost a couple of tight games at the end. I mean, they were lucky against the Cowboys. I think they got a couple of decisions that went their way. But I just think last night they found something which I haven't seen for a long time from the Broncos. There was a trust. And even the winger, Asako.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in that second half, I think the start of this year, he was poor. But, you know, he set a standard in that second half. Corey Oates was great. Milford did a job from the back.
Yep.
You know, and there was an aggression there which, you know...
It was simple, wasn't it? It was a simple game plan. And they got another game up there this week. They're going to be really hard to beat. So here we are, Wendell. Saturday, Triple M NRL at Castle Hill RSL Sports at 7-7 Bar. It's a great experience we're having, Wendell, just me and you up here. Unfortunately, after the break, someone else is going to join us.
Oh, who?
Josh Reynolds has entered the building, and all the fans here, they want to see him up here and hear what he's got to say about what's happening there at the West Tigers. So stay tuned. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with Josh Reynolds and what's going on at the Tigers.
Beautiful.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy. Triple M Footy for Ream Hot Water.
Yeah, welcome back. Saturday, Triple M NRL, broadcasting live from Castle Hill RSL, the Sports at 7-7 Bar. I'd like to welcome in one of our guest hosts for the day, Joshy Reynolds. Josh, you're a little bit battered and bruised, mate. I mean, you haven't played in a couple of months. What have you been doing on your... You've got grazes off your... The bark off your knees everywhere.
What's going on, mate? Is that training? Is that being like... You know?
Well, I have been playing Canterbury Cup, so yeah, I still do play games. And yeah, last week we played at Blacktown Workers. And,
a little bit harder, the fields, aren't they?
Just a little bit.
How's it been, though? I mean, obviously, coming into last weekend, I'd imagine you would have been a little bit disappointed not being included in that side after Robbie was injured the week before. But then seeing, unfortunately, Liddell go down on the weekend, it really opens an opportunity for you for next week. Do you know where it's at?
Yeah, definitely, mate. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was a bit, you know, disappointed, especially because, I can play, I suppose, that versatile role. My first probably year I'd done that, you know. And obviously, you know, it wasn't the way a match went. So, and going back to Canterbury Cup, I've actually been enjoying it. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't want to be there. But just to sort of go back there and I think when you get, when you're sort of playing first grade week in, week out, I reckon you do take it a bit for granted how good you have got it. So, you know, you go back to Canterbury Cup, you're training at night time, but the guys have come from work, been working all day. And I don't know, like, it's just something in me. I was just like, you know what, in a weird way, like, I'm actually taking something from this experience. So, in that sense, it's been good. But
your relationship with Madge, it's been fine too, because he speaks highly of you. It's just been a bit of a tough one, like, you just keep getting overlooked, don't you?
So do you see it as a bit of an audition for the rest of the year? Obviously, with Robbie announcing his retirement a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now with young Liddell probably out for,
12 months.
9 to 12 months. Yeah. Is there an opportunity now there for you to stay at the Tigers?
Well, Goods, in that sense, like you said, Madge has been very open with me and Justin Pascoe, the CEO, saying, look, you don't have to leave. But if there's an opportunity that, you know, you'd like to take and you feel it's better for your career. So I honestly can't say a bad word about either of them in the sense of next week, Madge's told me I am in the team, which is
that's
awesome.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so dummy half? Yeah. Where are you going to play?
I think, I'm definitely dummy half, whether I'm starting or not.
Where have you been playing? Here, so, yeah.
In Canterbury Cup?
I've been playing six in Canterbury Cup. But
who is the reserve grade hooker in Canterbury Cup in your team?
So it was Little.
No, but there was someone else last week, wasn't it?
Sonny Luke.
Yeah, that's
he went really well.
That's the other young guy that someone brought up on Thursday night when we were talking about it.
So, but yeah, in that sense of a couple of the boys are calling me old Stephen Bradbury.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I actually like it. I don't know how well I'm taking it, but you've got
to
laugh.
You've got to roll with it. You've got to have some fun. And not, mate, that's football. And, man, I understand where you're coming from. And I think everyone... The way that you've carried yourself through this season, and we know it's been tough the last couple of years, I think it's great. I think it'll make you stronger. And I think as MG said the night, I reckon it'll progress your career as well.
Yeah, I definitely can feel that too, in the sense of, and it's funny, you try not to read the articles enough, but I seen something the other day saying, Reynolds auditioned to save career, and I'm sitting there going, how am I saving my career? Obviously I've had some pretty bad injuries and stuff, but in the end, I've still got 2 years at the Tigers, and I feel myself I've got so much more to give. So it's funny how people think of it, but in the end, they can say whatever they want. I know what I can do, and I'll be keen to get back out there.
And what's any sort of interest from some of the other clubs? Because we know that, you have been sort of out in the market and your manager has been sort of making some calls. What's the feedback been like?
Good. I don't want to... how do I say it? I'm pretty... In the sense of being... I'm a loyal person, mate, and it's weird. The Tigers have sort of, have come out and said, you're sweet to go, but I'm not going out there, I suppose, chasing things in that sense. Don't get me wrong, I want to get back into first grade, but that's why, as you said, my manager has honestly, I know it's a cliche, but he has been taking care of a lot of it. And I've told him, don't tell me something unless you think it's going to come through. They can tell you a couple of things.
Yeah, yeah, you get your hopes up.
And then you think about it, and you're not thinking about, I've got to play every week too.
Yeah.
I don't want to be thinking about other stuff. I don't want to be thinking about playing that week. So in that sense, there's been, a little bit of interest, but... It's, and then again, you just don't know because then, the club come out and say, they'll toss it up at him and you're like, well, hold on. So that's why I just try not to buy into it.
What did you make of their performance on Thursday night against Manly?
Yeah, look, it was always going to be a tough game. Manly coming off a loss. Manly in at Manly at Brookie is a tough assignment. I think
you've had a good record against them too in the past.
Yeah, well, last time that was actually my first game back last year, and we actually they rolled them by before I even got on. It was 30-0 or 30-6, so it was perfect. But I think their middle is so good.
Yeah,
like honestly, they just roll through. And then when Cherry Evans is on with like, you know, his kicking game and turbo, they're honestly so hard to stop. Yep. So I just think we couldn't stop the roll. When we got down there for one set, and we scored a try straight away. So it was like 6-6, and I thought, but you know, at stages we were probably our own worst enemy in the fact of, you know, near the line, I suppose, everyone sort of give a penalty away and two blokes are on the floor. We should have probably gave one. They scored straight off it, and then, you know, a clean break through the middle try. Probably two lapses in concentration, which led to 18-6, and it's hard to come back from 18-6 at Brookie, so.
Yeah, well, you're on 20 points. You've got three games to go, so you probably need to win all three of them, and you're going to be part of that. So it's a fair bit of pressure on there to come back into first grade, but I'm sure you'll be up to it. Look, stick around. We're going to chat to Mark Guy actually did a one-on-one interview with the great Rabs Ryan, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame through the week, and we've got Danny Badiris coming up, and we're going to preview this afternoon's big game, so hang around. Ryan Girdler with Wendell Saylor and Josh Reynolds. Boys, I know we touched on this game before, but the Broncos defeated the Panthers last night 24-22 thanks to the Tyre Power scoreboard, and I just want to get your opinion on this. There was an incident in the game.
24-12, wasn't it?
24-12.
Thank you for yourself more points, Panthers.
I forgot my glasses.
Yeah.
Tevita Pangai Jr., there was involved an incident a couple of minutes before the game ended, and he was sent to the Simbin for 10 minutes. Phil Gould had some interesting things to say about that. Let's have a listen to those.
The feeling I get in the game at the moment is they don't want any intimidation in the game. I've said doctors and lawyers will end the game within 20 years. I want to know what they think the finished product looks like. I want to know what the NRL thinks is the pure game of rugby league. You know, this is professional sport. It should be coming with a warning. Don't try this at home.
Wendell, what do you think?
Mate, I reckon Gus, you know, some things that Gus says, I just go, oh, yeah, whatever. But I reckon when I was sitting there listening to Gus last night, I reckon he's right, you know, because there's been talks about, you know, the head knocks and, you know, shoulder charges and this and that. Like, sometimes we're trying to protect the players too much. Last night, I just thought, with Jimmy Maloney and Tevita Pangai Jr., I just thought they were going at each other all night. And Jimmy Maloney, Josh Reynolds will tell you, when you get a big back row or, you know, a big forward going at you all night, you got to stand your ground. And Jimmy Maloney always stands his ground. And even like when they said, it was a crush tackle. It wasn't a crush tackle, but Tevita Pangai was trying to be really aggressive on him. And this reminded me like when he's playing with a guy like Gordon Tallis. You know, you want that in the game. So let's not get rid of that.
They use it. I mean, those big edge back rowers, don't they? They find a way to use their body, and it's really intimidating. And you know better than anyone, because you play on the edge and you need to be confronted with that on a weekly basis. What did you think of the incident, and what do you think should happen with Tevita? He's obviously on report. They come up against South Sydney in a must-win game pretty much for both teams next week. He plays left side. Sam Burgess plays right for the Bunnies. That's a clash that no one wants to miss.
And that's the thing, Gerds, isn't it? I think you'll get suspended. Unfortunately, like Del said, I don't think it wasn't your genuine crusher that's been happening this year. The crusher, and I'm glad that they're getting it out of the game, because it is a nasty one.
Oh, it's
but
bad.
It's when the player has full control and takes him down, and has the opportunity to let the player's head out. As we've seen, like this was just a battle between two blokes. Jimmy Maloney, he fell to the ground, and there wasn't that sort of crusher movement. And Pangai Jr. just tried to give him another one. And don't get me wrong, foul's on the field in Penrith, I'd be like, oh, what's going on? Like, that's it. But when you sit there and watch it.
Well, the grading's just come through, Josh.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he's been given a grade 2 dangerous contact, which means three weeks for that incident last night.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, honestly, the inconsistency with the match review committee over the last few months has been a real issue for the game. We've got a side that's just on their way into the finals, and I know that just because it's at the back end of the year, it shouldn't carry any weight over the decision from the match review committee, but with common sense at some point needs to come into play, and there seems to be an extreme lack of common sense in that decision right there.
Oh, just disappointing. I understand, you know.
It was careless. I get the careless nature of it. It was accidental for mine.
He went over the top. He's got to harness some of that aggression, but 3 weeks for that'll do me. I've seen worse things done this year and been let off.
That could, honestly, he's a guy you want heading into the semis. That could derail Brisbane, honestly.
I got no doubt. I reckon he set that send last night, and I reckon for the first time in a long time, what I saw him do last night, he hurt his knee in the first half there. He actually got it strapped because everyone thought, oh, that's going to be his night. And probably a year ago, he probably didn't have that maturity enough. Didn't have that maturity enough to keep going with it. But like last night, he strapped his knee up, and he didn't have the 100% power that he had, but he came back to about 80%. Yep. And just his, I suppose, his aura and the way that he plays was good enough to help the Broncos.
Well, it actually works out to be 4 weeks, the grading. So he's going to miss 4 weeks for that innocuous. And I mean, you know, as Wendell said before, we don't want to go away from, you know, where the game's headed in relation to player safety. I think it's really important and it's key. But we also need to remember that these guys, you know, their craft is using their body to intimidate, the opposition. And for mine last night, there was no intent with that. He wanted to go down and he certainly wanted to
finish
off the tackle. But, you know, I don't think there was any way that he could have manipulated the situation to be where Maloney's popping up at the same time he's coming down hard over the top. And that, for mine, is careless and maybe, you know, maximum a fine, but no weeks.
Well, it was a funny one because he come out and put a shot on Maloney, and he's not going to be sure how Maloney's going to land. Either way, he's coming in with the intent.
Yep.
He's not sure if Maloney's going to land on his back. If he lands on his back, it's sweet.
Yep.
You know, like like you said, Bill, it's that aggression as a back row. Like, I've had battles with back rows, and honestly, that's all they do all game. And that's all he was out to do.
Yeah.
And it's actually a bit unfortunate for the Broncos because I think for the first time, like, Milford probably played one of his best games I've actually seen him play a long time. In the control sense, because I think he let those blokes, like the Fafitas and the, you know, Peng guys, do what they do. Played off the back of him.
He actually did well because he got himself in a position. The week before, though, I think they lost their way at the back end of the sets against the Cowboys, but he got himself in a position on play 3, 4, and 5, Milford, there, where he was going to kick the football and finish off the sets well for him. And that was really something that they missed the week before. And if they can work on those combinations now without, you know, putting the pressure on Turpin and Boyd to control the back end of their sets to get to the kick, and Milford can come up and get himself in a position, they're a dangerous side.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Gerds. The week before, I think, obviously, Siebes probably said, you know, Terps and Darius, you just need to control, use the halves, because that's usually a half job to kick, but it obviously didn't work. So then the week after, Milford said, you know what, I'm going to step up here. And he got himself into really good kick positions. And there was a couple of kicks that got him out of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of big torpies and straight down the middle, split the fullback and winger, and it got the Broncos off to a good start.
Yeah, and what I liked last night is Darius, his job, mate, he had to run. Like, he set it up pretty well. He ran last night, which he hasn't done the last couple of weeks. Milford did what he did. But even Turpin, he's so much better. Did he get in any trouble? Because remember he hit that high shot on...
I haven't heard of the grading yet, but
But yeah, that was, he was going down and he just sort of, he was being real aggressive. I like the way he's playing, Turpin, but like for me, mate, if Dearden's okay, I don't know if they're going to use him again.
Yeah.
But you need someone like Dearden to steer him around. If they can get him back in the next week or so, I know it's going to be hard because then you're probably going to drop Seguiar off the bench and put Turpin back to the, you know.
Well, it's hard. McCulloch was outstanding last night.
Oh, he was great, mate. That's the best game
for a while. But I mean, it's hard to make sense of it, really. Yeah. He gets 4 weeks for that, and you see yourself, Sofa Solomona, get off for that tackle that he put on last week with that wrestling move. So we'll discuss that. Just a little bit further down the track. Lots coming up. Hang around. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. We'll be right back after this.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. For Ream Hot Water, get your boots out! Triple M Footy.
Yeah, welcome back. Saturday, Triple M, NRL, live from Carousel Hill RSL at the Sports Bar 77. Pretty impressive facility, I must say, and the people starting to roll in now to take those 100 free schooners.
Beautiful.
Josh Reynolds, Wendell Saylor. So the latest news on Jake Turpin has just come through, and he's been charged with a grade 2 contact for that little stiff arm he got in on Dylan Edwards last
So what's he looking
night.
At there? What's he, you know?
So 2 to 3 weeks a couple of big things for the Broncos to overcome in the next couple of weeks. But through the week, Big MG, our MG, caught up with the great Ray Warren, one of the latest inductees into the Rugby League Hall of Fame, and had a little bit of a chat, and this is how it went.
Gets the pass on! Coyne goes for the corner and gets in try! It's a miracle! Oh, yeah!
Parcells gets away. Parcells still going! Marvin opens up again. Oh, look at him go! He beats The man who needs no introduction, but we just gave him a beautiful one, is the one and only Raymond Warren, who joins us on the phone. And Rabs, first of all, mate, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I'm a little bit humbled by it because I honestly thought Frank would be the man named, but he'll be named next year. Put it that way. But I'm delighted. I'm thrilled, but I'm just a little bit humbled by it all.
Robbie, 51 years you've been doing this caper of broadcasting. I'm 51, so ever since I can remember, you've been somewhere in the background of my house or actually calling me in footy. And how did it all start for you? How did broadcasting start for Ray Warren?
Oh, well, I was just a little kid, 6, 7, 8 years of age, and I had parents that used to listen to the races every Saturday, and I got obsessed by listening to people like Ken Howard and Frank Hyde and John O'Reilly, Alan McGilvray. We only had radio. We didn't even have transistor radios, so we needed electricity to run them. And I somehow or other, I decided I was going to be one of them. And the first thing I did was I started rolling marbles down a slope and calling them as horses. And then I, as I got a bit older, I'd go down to the footy field and pretend I was Frank Hyde, or I'd go down to the cricket and pretend I was Alan McGilvray. I probably led a childhood of being a pretender, but it led to this life that I've led, and it's all been an absolute dream come true.
Throughout your rugby league career, you would have seen some amazing rugby league players, and a question without notice, because you don't obviously know what I'm going to ask you, but if you could name the three best players that you've called throughout your career, would you be able to do that, or would you have to have time to think about it?
No, I think it'd be a very hard task. Mark, I think Wally, because he dominated 10 years of Origin, it'd certainly be in my top three. It's very hard to compare eras. When I first came to Sydney in 1969, I think it was, Bobby Fulton, I just thought nobody will be as good as him ever. But I thought the same, you know, of Clive Churchill and a lot of other players that I thought were indispensable. And then along came Cameron Smith and Billy Slater and Jonathan Thurston. So it's too hard to think about it and give you what would be an accurate answer.
We've just gone through retro round last weekend. In your opinion, what decade of rugby league did you enjoy the most?
Probably this one, to be quite frank with you. Mm. I mean, we had three grand finals there, Mark and Liam, that were just absolutely so enjoyable. Souths, they win their first grand final in over 40 years. That was magnificent. We had Cronulla turning the lights out on the front porch. And then we had the Cowboys Cronulla wins their first. Cowboys win their first. And even that grand final, the Cowboys Brisbane, everybody said, "Oh, there'll be nobody there." But it was a packed stadium, and I think it was probably the most enjoyable grand final I've seen.
Rabbi,
so yeah. I would say this decade. Yeah. Yes.
When you mention the grand finals that you've called, that's hard to argue with because we've seen three belters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rabbi, Peter Sterling has a quote that when he thinks back to all the significant moments in rugby league of the recent history, over the last 50 years, as MG pointed out, it's your voice that's calling them. When you're calling each game or each moment, do you keep in mind that, do you ever think about the fact that if there's a moment in this game, it's my voice is the soundtrack to these moments?
No, not really. Not really. I'm probably more concentrating on just getting it right, hitting the high notes and picking the highlights of the game, being able to recognise something that is absolutely brilliant. I'm not thinking of a soundtrack or anything like that. But don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a lot of pressure. If you do stop and think about it, it frightens me really. When I know we've got the match exclusive on Nine, that I'm going out to all those people listening or watching Origin, and the same with the grand final exclusive on the Nine network. So it gets a bit scary when you start thinking, oh, my God, I'm going out to 4 or 5 million people, you know.
And especially when someone, like Mr. Warren is not a really good flyer. So if there's a game in Brisbane or Perth and he's got to call the Origin, well, I might catch a train across there next
time. I was thinking about it.
And, I know you were.
Cher wanted to go by train. And I thought, no, I'll be the laughing stock of rugby league if they go by train.
Hey, Rabs, do you remember the first time you ever called our very own Mark Geyer?
Yeah, I think I do, but I must admit my first impressions were that, my God, this is Wild Bill Hickok. You know, this is the wild man from the Pampas.
I'll refresh your memory. It was 1986, and yeah. I'd played under 23s at Parramatta Stadium. Then I was lucky enough to get a run in reserve grade, and then I sat on the bench for first grade in Ray Price and Mick Cronin's last home game at Para Stadium, and I got on with about 5 minutes to go, and I had strapping from head to toe. And you called, and you said, "Mark Geyer, this young guy coming off the bench looks more like Cardigan Bay than he does a rugby league player."
Yeah. Well, see, I often refer to Cardigan Bay, and I've got to learn to stop doing that because Cardigan Bay was a great pacer.
Yes.
From New Zealand, and he seemed to wear a lot of bandages, and and that was my way of describing how many bandages you had on. You were the human equivalent
of a mummy
of the equine Cardigan Bay.
But,
there were arms and legs and everything going and waving, and it was quite an entry. But you're right, 86. Yeah, it was the end of my first rugby league career with Channel 10.
Yeah, wow.
Rabbi, impersonation, it's the greatest form of flattery. Are you sick of people trying to do you?
No. I didn't like it when it first started. In fact, I thought a couple of blokes were taking the mickey out of me from Balmain.
Ronnie Ryan.
John Elias and Ronnie Ryan.
Yes. You know,
they were in a pub in Lismore, and we'd done an AMCO Cup up there, and they were taking the mickey out of me, and I went over and said, hey, what do you think you're doing? You're taking the you-know-what out of me? And anyway, I thank God I didn't upset them too much because they would have pulled me apart, you know.
Now, a little as you make your way to these awards tonight, I suppose it's a little bit of a reflection time. I've known you for a long time, over 30 years, and as I mentioned at the start of this chat, that I can't imagine rugby league without the dulcet tones of yourself. You turned 76 last June.
Yeah.
You've called 93 State of Origin games.
Yeah.
Will you get to 100?
I don't think so. No, I'm answering in all honesty, Mark. I don't think so. It's not far away, retirement. And I've had a really good run. And with every step you take, you're one step closer to making a fool of yourself. And I don't want to do that.
Well, I know what you mean, and I know that I suppose it's every broadcaster with your quality has that kind of in their back of their mind that they'd rather call one less than one more, and I suppose that's that relates to rugby league players too. But now that you've become a grandfather, has life changed incredibly for you? How much joy has that brought to your life being a poppy?
Oh well, Holly's got a baby, but. Young Chris, he's got three children. So I've been a grandfather, but a lot of their life was lived in England.
That's right.
After he left the Perth Reds and he went to England, so a lot of Matilda and Joe, I think from memory, were their life was spent in England. But we've got a young bloke here called Matteo, and he is an absolute He's a gem of a kid. But I am getting a bit sick and tired of tripping over Thomas the Tank Engine. And I'm sick of watching the Teletubbies. And oh, my
the
God.
Wiggles, what about the Wiggles?
The Wiggles, oh, yeah, fair dinkum.
I reckon there's a new venture for Ray.
I was about to say.
Black Skivvy and the new Wiggle.
Oh, well, I was going to say, we know that Ringo Starr, in his life after the Beatles, he went on to voice Thomas the Tank Engine. Oh. Rabs, you'd be a walk-up start to voice some sort of animated series on the ABC.
How good would he be?
Liam, would you just keep that to yourself, please? I don't want to finish up as the voiceover man in Disneyland.
Hey, Rabby, no, I, those that don't know, when I first started at Triple M, I used to produce some of the shows that Rabs worked on here. And I'm going to share this story because I don't know if I've actually told it to Rabs. Rabs, I used to give you a phone call to just run you through the shows we were going to do that afternoon. And usually I'd find you on the golf course, and it's a Lee. Just hold on a minute while I take this shot. And if it was a good shot, we'd end up having a nice conversation about the show that for that evening.
If it wasn't
a good shot, Lee, whatever you want to talk about's fine by me.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you still hitting the golf ball, Robbie?
No, I don't play anymore. Physically, I'm not real brilliant, but I just got sick of making a fool of myself, really.
Well, Rabby, you're not making a fool of yourself when you commentate rugby league.
Far from it.
And this honour that you're going to be bestowed tonight at the ceremony is well deserved. Ray Warren, one of the three contributors being inducted into the NRL Hall of Fame at tonight's ceremony, alongside JJ Giltinan and Peter Frelingos. Rabs, congratulations from everyone here at Triple M and the Rush Hour, and thank you for everything that you've given us.
We salute you, sir.
Righto. Thank you. I appreciate that very much, and thanks for the phone call.
Love you, mate.
Yeah, a great reward for a worthy recipient. Rabby, the great man. I mean, you know, he'll always be the voice of rugby league boys. Any fond memories of Rabs?
Oh, look, I think for me, being a young Queenslander, obviously he's called plenty of grand finals, but when Mark Coyne scored that try, you know, it was Fatty, and obviously they were commentating, and just the way that he called, but then when you played, it was funny when you come as an 18, 19-year-old, and then every now and then you'd watch replays or watch the games, and then you got his voice in there. We all grew up, you know, listening to Ray Warren, and to work with him at Triple M over the years, along with yourself, I idolise the bloke. I just get starstruck around him.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think I haven't probably got an exact memory, but like honestly, I don't think the game would be the same without him. I dread the day he, you know, what is
moves
it,
on.
Hangs up the mic.
Yeah,
you know, like it's going to be a sad day because he's just everything to do with rugby league. Like everything, you know, from when I first started, he was the voice, and even you know that day when you hear him call your name, what a great feeling. It actually is. So
absolutely.
What about you, Gertz?
Yeah, look, I think same as you, Wendell. Got to work with him, which was amazing, and just remember those big moments. And I remember when I was coming through sort of the lower grades, it's kind of your goal to play first grade, but it's also your goal to have your name called by Ray Warren.
100%.
I remember the first time it happened after we played a 9 game and I was playing for the Steelers, I went home, watched the game, just so I could hear Rabs call my name.
100%, so, it's so good.
Yeah,
but even it was funny, the third origin when, you know, New South Wales won, I was in the lift going to Triple M, I was coming from a function, and the great man was in there, and I got, you know, as I do, I get my phone out, and I said, "How you feeling, great man?" And he was nervous. It's funny, after all these years, he's still nervous, and then there was, I think he had his minder with him, and he said, "Oh, I've forgot my phone." So the minder had to go, and then Rabs was a bit flustered and that. It's, you know, after all these years, he's still flustered, but, mate, just what a great man.
Oh, what a great honour for him, too.
And well done, Rabs and family.
The Triple M NRL Play of the Day.
Here's Mitchell Moses. Beautiful pass to Manu Ma'u. Into the backfield. Gets it on to Wonga Blake. The chase is on. Wonga Blake. Goodbye. Blake is over. He scores under the sticks. And Parramatta now starting to put the foot down.
Yeah, they certainly did, and that's the CC's Play of the Day. Footy and CC's Josh Reynolds. You can't say no. Let's have a little bit of a talk about last night's game. The Eels defeated the Titans up there at in the Gold Coast, 36-12, as we go to the Tyre Power scoreboard. Right now, a Tyre Power by 3, get one free on selected Kumo passenger
and SUV tyres. Did you have a look at that game, Joshy?
I did, mate, yeah.
What did you think?
I honestly didn't realise how good Parra were going. And I know people will say it is against the Titans. There's no offence. They're obviously coming last on the ladder, but it's not... Everyone knows how good Parra are in attack, but their defence is awesome at the moment. Just a couple of the little scrambling plays that, you know, they've obviously brought into their, I suppose, game. But I think things like that are a culture, and it seems like they're doing it easy. And I feel when you're winning games, you know, off the back of real good defence, it gives you so much confidence. And you I think that's how they're going.
You can see that the coach, Brad Arthur, wasn't happy after that performance, and I think that shows the time of the season that it is. Like, pretty convincing win, not easy to go up there. Not so much and win because, I mean, the Titans haven't won too many games this year, but to perform and get the result and then come away with a decent performance at this time of year when I reckon your mind would have been anywhere but Wendell.
Well, I think it's a good change-up. I think he had to do something different, the coach, and he did something different. They flew in, I think, at about midday. So, you know, flying in on the game of the day, and sometimes you get the Gold Coast, you can... I think their away record's been... I think they've won 4 from 10 or something on the road this year. But I think, you know, you have to change a few things up. So, I think they played good in the second half. Titans were disappointing once again. And, look, you know, someone different like Brad Takarangi on the wing there. But, if I'm Parramatta at the moment... things are going along okay, but the next couple of weeks are going to test themselves out. You take that win. The Titans were desperate. They wanted to do something. I don't know what the coach was doing from the Titans last night or yesterday afternoon, but...
taking off Brimson.
Yeah, taking off Brimson. Carrying Gordon and Branko Lee on the bench. Mm. It's bizarre, but, Parramatta, you know, they found a way. And on the back of Mitchell Moses, I've got to say, yeah, consistently the best football I've seen him play since he's come into first grade. I think he's got something like, is it 30 try assists or something?
Yeah, yeah, well, just saying.
Incredible. Like, they're sitting at the moment on the live ladder. They're sitting at 6, so on 28 points. So there's a push for the top four for them. My concern about the Eels at the back end of the season is going to be some of the experience in key positions. Gutherson's never really played finals football, never played representative football. You've got young Brown, who I think is a phenomenal player and super talent, but again, another guy that hasn't experienced those bigger games. Mitchell Moses, again, limited opportunities at that time of the year, and young Marnie. Now, if you're going to go on and give this premiership a real tilt, you need to make sure that at the back end of the season, your performances are there, but also, you know what to expect, you know what's going to come. As some of these other sides going into this time of year have got some really experienced guys that have been there and done that.
Yeah, but let's not forget, was it 2 years ago that Parramatta went down to Melbourne?
Yeah.
They probably got dudded a little bit on a couple of calls. I think Parramatta played better that game. Melbourne found a way to win. I'll be honest, I'll say this. A few hometown decisions went their way. Parramatta didn't get a few decisions. So, look, I think Parramatta have got... I think they've got the players there that can step up in that finals.
But the four's crucial, given the fact that they lack that experience.
Sorry, especially at Bank West.
They're going to have to win 3 or 4 in a row to do that against quality opposition.
I think they can do that.
Yeah. Okay. There's something about Parra, I think, too, Gerd. You mentioned all those names there of guys that haven't had semi-final experience, but there's something about, you know, Clint Gutherson and Mahone. They just seem confident. I don't know. There's something about it. They've got a cool swagger about them, I reckon. And they just... they look like they're having fun. Footy's not hard. Yeah. And when as Dell said, you know, they went down in that final series, they were nearly unstoppable.
Yep.
They should have beat Melbourne that game. Yep. So I think, if they're in the four, they're going to be a threat.
Yeah, but you're right. They need to get in that four because, mate, Bank West, I think they've only lost one game there. And that was one they probably shouldn't have lost also. So, Brad Arthur is doing a good job there, and I think Blake Ferguson, he won't come back until either the last round or the final two.
I think he said around 24, so you'll get a couple of games in before the finals, but they're in that bottleneck, aren't they? They're sort of the bottom two of that four, where the Raiders, South, the Eels and Manly, it seems to be it's going to be a race out of those four sides, and we're going to dissect that a little bit later as well. But the Titans boys, again, more of the same from them. Better first half. It looked like there was a little bit more intent and commitment there in the first half, but defensively over the last couple of weeks, they've been really poor.
Well, I think they've leaked 240-odd points in the last 5 games. You know, that's not good enough for a first-grade side. And I know they tried hard in that first half, but they can't stick with it. There's no trust amongst their team, and they make replacements, I think, at some stages when they don't need to make replacements. Like I said, with Brimson last one, Brimson's your best attacking player. I know Kelly plays well on that left side there, but they're a mentally soft side, and they are where they are because, man, they don't work for one another.
Yeah, I think as well, with the Brimson thing, you know, it doesn't all come down to one player. But if there's someone who on your team is a bit of a go-to, he's got a man. Look, there's been a couple of games where, you know, I've watched and the Titans just throwing it around. Then Brimson will take go square and take the line. And I feel they play a lot. They are very lateral, the Titans. And, you know, they don't probably put a dent in someone before going around. And that can probably come down to, as you said, they've got some really slick centres, like who probably back themselves.
But
in the end, you've got to win the battle up front first. We all know that. So, yeah, it's not good signs, especially with that defensive record.
And even for me last night, I think Mitch Rain, you know, there's a couple of things that he just did in and around there.
I didn't mind the Pete's experiment. I thought it worked okay. Yeah. Played a little bit more with width and didn't take on Parramatta through the middle.
I thought Pete's was it was a good acquisition from last night. You know, he's tough and he's uncompromising. But I just think with Mitch Rain, I think you made a couple of mistakes here. And I think one with the kick, it just takes the pressure off. And I just don't know. I think that's their worst. I think eight in a row they've lost to the Titans. So I'm not sure. I think they had the Dragons in the last game. That might be their best hope for a win.
Plenty of work for Justin Holbrook to come in and do at the back end of this season. Now, we're going to have another Hall of Fame inductee, Danny Bedeiras. Bedsy's going to join
legend.
Us after the break and obviously talk to him a little bit about this afternoon's game too, the Knights and Cowboys. It'll be live and exclusive on Triple M. This is Saturday Triple M, broadcasting live from Castle Hill RSL. The sports at 7-7 Bar, and Del, it's going off.
Oh, yeah, good. You look at the fans,
the buses
they're turning
have
up.
Just turned up and yeah, they're unloaded, know. And this place is busy. And we're going to take a break, eat some wings, and we'll catch up after this.
Love the wings.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.